We're continuing our series as Jesus as Friend. And this week it's from Colossians, and I'm entitling it, Your Unchanging Friend, Jesus. He is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Praise be to God. But since the creation of the world, humans have gazed into the skies and tried to count the stars. The invention of a telescope in the 1600s allowed astronomers to count more of them than ever before. And then in the 20th century brought us radio telescopes, infrared telescopes, X-ray telescopes, all offering fresh glimpses of the galaxy. Now the James Webb Space Telescope is sending us images that take our breath away. It doesn't orbit the Earth like the Hubble Space Telescope. Instead, the Webb Telescope orbits the Sun 1,000,000 miles away from our planet. Every day it beams back images of unusually bright and massive and beautiful colors and galaxies, creative realms of God's handiwork never seen before by human eyes. Now, the sky hasn't changed much since God told Abraham to look into the heavens and number the stars. But as we continue to get a fresh glimpse that go deeper and deeper and further into God's amazing realities, we're filled with awe and fascination. And it should be that way with our friend Jesus. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8. And he's always available, always with us in the all-knowing. And we should be going deeper and further into our knowledge of him and his amazing realities. You see, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ presents us with an unlimited opportunity for hope, the blessed hope, freedom, and peace. And our job is to seek and to know him and magnify him in our hearts. Now, in the first chapter of Colossians, we've been looking at this week and last week. This week we looked a little further into the book of Colossians and the discussion. And where we left off last week, we pick it back up in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, where it says, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all of creation." Now, I don't think there's any way to fully comprehend this, but Scripture, the God who rules all of our creation, is the one who calls you and I his friend. Think of that. The next time you look at the sun, the moon, the stars, Jesus is and was and always will be Almighty God himself, because he is the Creator, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And then we look a little further into verse 6. It says, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority, all things have been created through him and for him." So if Jesus is the Creator, and he is, of all that is seen and unseen, John chapter 1 verse 3 says, "Through him all things were made." And then Hebrews chapter 1 verse 10 says that the heavens, those enchanting stars that astound astronauts and astronomers, are the works of his hands, along with the earth and all that it contains. Wow! Alexander Pope, the English poet, when referencing Jesus' miracle of turning water into wine, put it quite succinctly. He said, "The conscious water made its master and blushed." Wow, that's something. He met the master and blushed. Well, our Lord is the top of the organizational chart of all reality, and he's far above the angelic and demonic realms, all human authorities, and everything that can be named. Colossians 1:17 said, "He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." He's the glue, if you would say, of this thing called life. And I love that concept, because if he holds the universe together, he can also keep you and me from coming apart, amen, during difficult times. Furthermore, he oversees all the activities and the attitudes of the people of the church in which he is the head of. Verse 18 says, he is the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning of the firstborn and first among the dead, so that everything he might have in supremacy. And despite his great rank and rule, Jesus also came to earth to save you and me as his friends. Verses 19 and 20 say, for God, who was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself to all things, whether on earth or things in heaven, making peace through his blood shed on the cross. That's it. Yeah. It's not religion. It's not a style or a form of worship, no. It's not about being Pentecostal, Catholic, or Orthodox, or Methodist, or Baptist. No, it's about your relationship with a person. And his name is Jesus. He was born in Bethlehem, he grew up in Nazareth, and he preached in the Galilee. He died on a Roman cross outside the walls of Old Jerusalem, and he was raised to life again and ascended back into heaven. And he's returning to earth. How well do you know him? Wow, think about that. If he is your best friend, and he is, don't you think you need to get to know him? I hope you do know him, but if you don't or you only think you know him, pay more attention and learn more about your friend Jesus. So, as I was focusing on this passage in Colossians and preparing this message, I listed seven truths about Jesus and thought that came to me about these truths can change the atmosphere of any heart, I think, any home, any nation. Talk about climate change, that's it. Your climate has been changed when you accept Christ and focus on him. What a friend we have in Jesus. I love that little hymn. But I digress. If you want to change the climate in your life, you need to yield to the unchanging Christ. So let's improve our righteousness and our godliness and, more importantly, our holiness. We can't fix our trouble problems while behaving in ungodly ways. No, it's not logical. It makes no sense. We need a fresh glimpse of Jesus. Now, here's the seven things of the untruth that I was thinking about in this passage. All things were made by him. He was before all things. In him, all things hold together. He is the head of the church. He's the firstborn from the dead. He is supreme over everything, including every demonic attack and wicked person. Remember what he said to the devil? Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. And he also has made peace through his shed blood. Now, I think we can rest in these realities. And the Apostle Paul concluded Colossians with a before and after picture for us. And he's explaining how the reality of Jesus changes you and me. Look at verse 21 again. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. Now, there was a time in my life when God wasn't my friend. I don't know about you. But he certainly wasn't your enemy either. No, your sins and your rebellion against him. But now, it says in verse 22, and I loved reconciliation. You heard me talk about it for years. I'm a person that think reconciliation is the best thing that we can ever do in this whole world. But this is what he said. And now he being Jesus, reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you as holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. So, at one time, yeah, we were alienated from God. All of us were. And our conflict was primarily centered in how we thought and how we acted. You didn't think in godly ways or you didn't think in godly thoughts. No, holy attitudes were foreign to most of us growing up. They were unacceptable and uncomfortable to you also. Well, your mind was mistaken in its assumption and corrupted in its desires. It required the physical death of Jesus Christ on the cross to reconcile us with God and to turn our enemy spirit into a friendship. His death enables us to be holy in the sight of God without blemish and free of accusations. I don't know about you, but it's hard to imagine that, isn't it? That we can stand before the Creator of all things and feel free of accusations because of our friend Jesus. Romans 8:1 says, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The trial's ended. The verdict is in. And because Jesus and Jesus alone, we have been pardoned and set free. Now, Jesus had not changed, but guess what? We have changed. It's an amazing thing that takes place when you accept Christ into your life. No lightning flashes or immediate things. No, it's a slow, gentle love process as we get closer to our friend Jesus. Now, I don't think we should apologize for our friend Jesus. I know I don't. He has not instigated any evil. He hasn't caused the destruction of human beings. He's not forced wickedness on us. He's the greatest opportunity of any human being that has ever had to become right with God. And we sometimes in this old society has apologized for too long. Now, our culture is really in a mess. And I watched our culture over the years, and I see that culture has pushed a worldview that stands in opposition to my biblical worldview, and I hope your biblical worldview. And sometimes, though, they have made us feel like our faith is not welcome in the classroom, the boardroom, the locker room, or anywhere. But I want to tell you this. I want you to know that if I am walking into a boardroom, a classroom, or a locker room, or any other kind of room, my friend Jesus is coming with me. And I am not ashamed of him, and I won't apologize for him. And I hope you won't either. Now, I know you won't if you get a fresh glimpse of your unchanging friend. Father, we thank you. And for those who already have accepted you into their heart, they know what we're talking about. But for maybe those who have never made that decision, it's a simple choice. Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I need a Savior. And if you're everything that preacher and everybody else tells me that you are, and you are the best, I want you to be my best friend too. Come into my life and be Lord over it. In Jesus' precious name,